husband is playing daddy daycare this week and taking care of the boys, and I pop in and out, feed the baby, and come back to the sessions and listen to these great talks, and it's working out pretty well.
Thank you, Heather, for sitting down with me.
Thanks for having me.
We're in Pine Mountain, Georgia for the 2019 meeting of the National Association of Plant Breeders. You are a Borlaug Scholar this year. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What's a little known fact about you that a lot of people probably don't know?
Well, outside of my family, a lot of people won't know this about me, but I work with corn, and my maiden name is Corn, and so I think it's a lot of people think that when they see my email address, which is HCorn, they think that I did that intentionally, but actually it's my maiden name, and so maybe it was meant to be to work with corn as a breeder. Actually, when I first started my PhD program at the University of Delaware, you set your own email address. A lot of universities just do your first and last name, but you set up your own email address, and I decided to just reuse the one I'd been using, you know. And I sent an email to my advisor, and he thought that maybe I was a little crazy that I was putting HCorn as my email address. And then he found out, you know, my maiden name's Corn, and so he likes to tell everybody about that because get a good rise out of people, because it's unusual to have, I think Corn's not a very common last name.
No, I don't think it is. What nationality is it?
I have no idea. I'm from the South.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. I haven't done any of the, you know, 23andMe. I don't have very extensive knowledge of my family background, so.
I just did the Ancestry DNA test, so that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody gets a little bit of a surprise when they do that.
Yeah, it's just something interesting to find out about your heritage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. You're a PhD candidate at the University of Delaware studying under Dr. Randall Weiser. Before we talk about your research, I understand you're a new mother. Congratulations.
Thank you. I have two sons. My youngest is 6 weeks.
6 weeks old. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you balance having a new baby with your plant breeding work? That must be make things quite busy for you, I would think.
Oh, of course, you know, sleep deprivation is no joke with a new baby, but I think I'm far enough along in my degree where a lot of my field work is done, a lot of my lab work is done, and so it's a matter of sitting down and doing data analysis. So whenever I'm feeling awake enough, or, you know, the baby's cooperating during the day, then I sit down and try to do what I can. If I'm feeding the baby, it's a good opportunity to read a couple of articles. You just kind of do what you can with what you have. But I'm lucky enough that I have a really great advisor who's very understanding and very helpful in trying to get things moving along and helping me out with meeting my goals. So.
Did you bring any of your children to the conference?
Of course, yes. So we're actually, my husband is playing daddy daycare this week and taking care of the boys, and I pop in and out, feed the baby, and come back to the sessions and listen to these great talks, and it's working out pretty well. So it's nice to come to Georgia. I'm actually from Georgia, lived here about 20 years, and then moved to North Carolina with the military, and so it's a good opportunity to come and see some great talks, and then afterwards we're gonna visit some of the family and introduce them to the little one. So.
Can you talk a little bit about your research, what you're looking at right now, and what some of your more significant findings have been?
Okay. I think a lot of people talk about how important genetic diversity is, and so that's what my research focuses on, is genetic diversity in corn. And a lot of the corn that's grown in the United States comes from a very narrow source of diversity. And it's important to maintain diversity in order to continue to improve crops. With population growth and changes in climate. And so in order to do that, you have to be able to tap into novel sources of diversity, but that can be challenging. You get what we call maladaptive syndrome, where when you bring in new sources of diversity, they're not adapted to your target environment, and they can have really undesirable phenotypes that can mask some of the phenotypic effects of your desired traits in whatever target environment that you're aiming for. And so in order to get around this, I'm focusing on studying the genomic basis of adaptation in a tropical varieties of corn in response to selection for flowering time, which is a major barrier to bringing in tropical varieties into temperate environments. We've created a tropical synthetic population from 7 tropical inbred lines. We've conducted a parallel selection experiment for flowering time. And basically what I do is a lot of genotyping, a lot of DNA sequencing, and I look at just the genomic characteristics of this population in response to manual selection for flowering time out in the field. And so I can look at different characteristics, changes in allele frequency, haplotype maps of our population. And so I'm really starting to get into the meat of it. We're seeing some environmental specific effects in this population in response to selection, some novel genomic regions popping up. And then we're playing with some really cool tools to do haplotype mapping and look at recombination landscape in our population and compare it to the genetic architecture that we're uncovering for these lines.
What are some potential implications this research could have? Looking in your crystal ball down the road, what benefits this could have for growers, consumers?
Well, if we are able to provide insight into the basis for adaptation, that can open up opportunities for people to create ideas on how to overcome some of these barriers using some of the insight that we're providing on some of these genomic characteristics. Are certain lines showing higher recombination? Are there new regions that are responding to selection for flowering time? I think it just contributes to the knowledge base of the genomic basis to adaptation, and just really provides another step forward into developing tools that can maybe more quickly overcome some of the barriers of adaptation, maybe quicken the process instead of taking 10 to 12 years to bring in new germplasm. Maybe we can cut that down to, you know, half that with the genomic selection and things like that. So,
as you said, you're a Borlaug Scholar. Congratulations. How does being a Borlaug Scholar help you advance your work and your career? I understand you're paired with a mentor, for mm-hmm. example. Can you talk a little bit about your mentor, who they are, and how this whole experience coming to this event has helped you?
Of course. So my mentor is Dr. Klaus Kohler. He's from Corteva. And it actually works out nicely because potentially I'm interested in pursuing a career in industry. And he's been really helpful. He in providing insight on the transition from a PhD into an industry type environment. He actually has offered me the opportunity to come out and tour the facilities. So that's an opportunity that I think has sprung from being a part of this program, which is really nice. Additionally, we've both opened up communication in terms of getting some feedback on the project that I'm working on now, as well as any questions that I may have or may spring up over the next year about possible career opportunities or where I can take the research next. And so it's a really unique opportunity. Additionally, you get to meet some of the other mentors that are working with some of the other students. So, like I said, it's a very unique opportunity, and I'm very grateful for being selected for that.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me.